This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. It's officially spring, which means farmers and gardeners are gearing up for planting. From weather concerns to new pest and disease pressures, there's a lot on growers' minds heading into summer. Today, we'll take a look ahead at the growing season with Caitlin Lance, agriculture educator for University of Wisconsin Extension in La Crosse County, and Jessica Leone, a certified master gardener from La Crosse. All right, and Caitlin, I wonder if you could start by talking about how long until we can expect farmers to start getting out into the fields.
We might have noticed some people starting to get out and applying manure. It depends on their nutrient management plan and where their farms are located. So they might already be prepping to get out into the fields. Now, they might be waiting another couple of weeks, though, dependent on weather, because as I saw in the forecast, it unfortunately looks like there might be some snow. So anytime the weather is nice, you're probably going to start seeing farmers more out and about just prepping for the new season. It's usually, though, about that mid-May period that they start planting.
Yeah, so last year we saw kind of an April snowstorm similar to this year's situation. And I wonder kind of what takeaways we can take from last year into, you know, kind of what we can expect for impacts on this year's growing season.
Well, if we have a snowstorm, kind of how we had late into the season. Now, luckily with this snowstorm, it's kind of coming mid-April. So it might have not as big of an impact as it does with what happened last year. So the ground was probably too saturated and we kind of had a wet spring. And so it took farmers a little bit to get out into the fields, which also means can be a little bit later in production or maybe not get quite as good of a quality of a product. It'll just kind of have to be a wait and see with our weather. Hopefully it dries out after the snow goes and they can get out there as soon as possible.
I wonder if you've heard from any producers about impacts of spring flooding this year.
I haven't heard from anybody in particular, but I know it can have a huge impact. Considering we're kind of in that driftless area and we do have farmers on the bluffs, so a lot of erosion issues can be a huge issue, especially, you know, with the Mississippi flooding and things like that. It might take them a little bit longer to get out into the field, so maybe they have to plan a little bit more in advance, you know, maybe looking for seed that will germinate a little bit faster than others. And so it might be a chance, you know, there could be weed pressure and other things like that. So it depends on how saturated that soil is when they can get in.
Jessica, we'll turn to you. I wonder if you could kind of share where we're at in kind of gardeners maybe gearing up for getting into their gardens and how this maybe compares to the typical spring timeline.
Well, I know a lot of the home gardeners have already started their seedlings indoors, those longer germinating seeds. I know I have mine set aside. I have zero plans to put them out until probably mid-May, though. I took them out yesterday to let them see the sun, the actual sun, for a little while. But it'll be a long time before we get out into the gardens to actually put plants in the garden. I know a lot of gardeners, referring to your question about the wetness of the soil, the ones living closer to the Mississippi I've spoken with and have said they're seeing some impact in the sandier soils as far as trying to even step into their gardens without sinking into quicksand. I think a lot of gardeners are just focused on spring cleaning right now, getting out some of the old to put in the new.
Yeah, can you talk a little bit about what that might look like, that spring cleaning?
Take out any old plants, any old debris, any extra refuse left over from the fall. We all try and clean up in the fall and get all of that out of the way, but some of us are less successful than others, me being a guilty party. Try and get a feel for what weeds are trying to creep in already and get those while they're young. I was speaking with Caitlin on the way in, the quack grass and the creeping Charlie already trying to make its way into my garden beds. And I prefer not to use herbicides, so it's all pull by hand. And the sooner you can get it, the better.
As far as the moisture of the soil, do you feel like it's kind of typical to see a lot of moisture in the soil at this point in the year, or is it maybe due to the fact that we have seen pretty, you know, minor to moderate flooding in a lot of places?
In my experience, this time of year is just a wet and soggy time of year. Whether there's extra rain or snow, or it's just the snow melt from the previous season, I have yet to step into the garden this time of year without sinking in just a little bit.
I know we've seen the state's National Ag Statistics Service office has put out some numbers on kind of what farmers are planning to plant this year. And I know we're seeing kind of an increase in corn acres and fewer acres of soybeans compared to last year. I wonder, Kaylin, if you can maybe explain maybe some of the factors farmers are taking into account when it comes to, you know, what they're choosing to plant.
Well, and actually, we saw an increase in soybeans last year, so it might just be in their rotation to have corn this year as part of their crop rotation. So that's probably why we're seeing an increase this year in corn. And there might be a little bit higher pricing for corn, especially if we have a lot of winter kill for alfalfa, which means farmers are, for their livestock are going to have to look at alternatives to feed their animals, especially we kind of had a hard time with getting hay this winter, and so it's maybe supplementing with corn silage. So that could be an increase of why they're looking to corn, is to maybe get a little bit better of a price. But my suspect is it's because that's kind of where they're at in the rotation. Since we had such a high influx of soybeans last year, this year we'll see a high influx of corn.
Yeah, can you talk a little bit more about the possibility of winter kill of alfalfa? And, you know, I know that that was definitely a big concern when we saw those extremely cold temperatures, and that can have a big impact.
It can have a huge impact, and especially, too, if we have a really cold and wet spring. Luckily, we've had a few kind of nice days, so things are drying out a little bit. But, yeah, with that alfalfa winter kill, if farmers had enough snow cover when we had that cold snap, their alfalfa plants probably did pretty good with survival, but if there wasn't enough heavy snow cover, they might see a significant amount more of winter kill.
How does the La Crosse area kind of compare to the rest of the state when it comes to, you know, growing row crops like corn and soybeans?
Well, you might see some more kind of unique ways of farming, especially being more environmentally conscious, considering, you know, we have a very unique kind of soil profile with being in the driftless area. You'll see that between La Crosse, Monroe, and Vernon counties. We have, you know, very similar styles, especially with, you know, being on the bluffs. You have to kind of think about, well, how are you planting and what are you planting in your crop rotation to kind of help prevent a lot of that erosion and runoff issues.
Jessica, I wonder if that's also a concern for some gardeners in the area of just, you know, how our topography maybe impacts the way gardeners are laying out their plots.
I think our topography has a real impact on our local gardeners. You have people who are trying to garden on slopes and they have to build retaining walls and such, and think about what they're going to plant on those slopes to try and retain what soil they have. We also have an interesting combination. Certain areas have very sandy soil, as I mentioned earlier. Higher up on the bluffs, you have really heavy clay soil. So it's a really a mixed bag of soils and topographies that you'll be dealing with here in the driftless region.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're taking a look at this year's growing season, when farmers and gardeners are likely to start planting, and what challenges lie ahead. We're here with Jessica Leone, a master gardener in La Crosse, and UW Extension educator Caitlin Lance. You know, Jessica, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about, you know, who, as a master gardener, who are the people that are most often reaching out to you? You know, who are the people who are maybe most often gardening in La Crosse?
There's really a mixed bag of gardeners as well, which is really exciting to see. I personally will be working with a 4-H group in May to introduce a whole new group of young gardeners, taking them to the Cane Street Garden, introducing them to our local gardening practices, and explaining to them the joys of growing their own fruits and vegetables. There's also a lot of retirees who love their flower gardens and their vegetable gardens and their canning. So there's really a whole spread of gardeners.
Yeah, I feel like you mentioned retirees, and I think that that is often associated with, you know, spending time in the garden. And so I'm curious if you have the sense that we're seeing younger generations invest as much into gardening as we know that older generations have.
I think I've seen a resurgence in younger populations and an interest in gardening. In addition, not only in the flower gardens, but also in the vegetable gardens and what they can do with that. I think that with a movement to a more organic diet and more of a concern about where their food they're coming from and shopping locally, that, yeah, there's definitely a focus going to younger generations.
Caitlin, I wonder what your thoughts are on this issue of, you know, are we seeing younger generations investing as much into home gardening?
We actually had quite a few younger members in my first class, you know, teaching here in La Crosse County that joined, that wanted to become master gardeners. So that was pretty neat. And we're seeing a lot more people reach out, both younger and older generations, that they are very fascinated where their food comes from. We have a lot of different local groups that work with younger students, too, that are involved with horticulture, not just the master gardener program. So it's really neat to see how passionate, yeah, the youth are really getting about, well, where does my food come from?
And so, you know, if you have someone who's new to gardening and or maybe feels like they have some bad gardening experiences or kind of cursed with a black thumb, if you will, I mean, what sort of resources exist in our local community that, you know, people can access when it comes to gardening?
Well, especially if they don't have really the area to garden, they can volunteer at the Cane Street Gardens, and they'll put people to work there. They always love new volunteers. Otherwise, if they're interested in maybe seeing plants from around different countries, we have the Riverside International Friendship Gardens. And so those represent seven different sister cities around the world that La Crosse links up to. So it's really neat being able to see those different ways. And if they have an interest in native gardens, we have the Myrick Eco Park. So they're doing a lot of work with restoring native plants that are native to La Crosse County. So it's very unique that way. And honestly, if you are starting a garden, just start small. Think big, but start small. Even if it's just a small container on your backyard porch. You know, there's many different ways of getting involved, throughout the community.
Jessica, what advice do you give to beginning gardeners and maybe examples of kind of accessible plants to start gardening with?
I personally started with vegetable gardening. I think they're very forgiving plants on the whole. As far as my kids that I'm going to be starting this next month, I'm going to be starting them with peas, sugar snap peas, quick, easy growers. Very forgiving, and kids get to enjoy the rewards right away because they are such fast growers. Start small. I agree with Caitlin 100%. Start small and be forgiving of the plants and yourself because there's going to be a learning curve.
I wonder, Jessica, what pest or disease pressures are common in the La Crosse area, and if we've seen any new pest or disease pressures coming into this area.
I did notice that we seem to have a few more stink bugs this year. Caitlin and I were talking about that earlier. My cats, to their dismay, discovered them. I personally am already preparing for the Japanese beetles. They're a constant pressure. I like to bait and trap them personally instead of putting the poison directly on the plants. But those are my main battles right now.
Yeah, and Caitlin, I wonder what experiences you've heard about pest and disease pressures, and especially from farmers.
And we actually just had a workshop for farmers in the area to learn about water hemp. Now, this is pretty obnoxious weed. We don't have a lot of it here, but it is something that can become part of the problem, especially if, you know, people are doing an integrated pest management plan. It's important that if they are using pesticides that they're switching up what pesticides that they use, because a lot of these weeds, and this can even go for home gardeners as well, they can become resistant to that type of pesticide, and then that's just creating stronger and stronger weeds. So the key to that is if something works one year, switch it up to the next year to something else, just so that way that weed isn't becoming tolerant to or resistant to that certain type of pesticide. As far as home gardeners too, and this might go for any fruit producers, we do have the brown marmated stink bug that has been seen in La Crosse County. This can affect vegetative plants and fruit trees. It's not anything to really panic about right now, but just kind of be on the aware. Like Jessica said, you know, she's noticed a few more stink bugs and, you know, Japanese beetles. We might see, it depends on the weather, will really depend on what kind of weed and pest pressure we really have on the farms. So if we have a lot drier weather, we might see, you know, more aphids or things like that. If it's a little wet, we might see, you know, other different types of pests.
I know last year there was quite a bit of mold issues because we had a pretty moist kind of fall season. And so I wonder if that's also something farmers are maybe preparing for this year.
Yeah. So, I mean, there was a lot of different molds, and this goes from farmers to homeowners. I got so many calls last year from homeowners with their trees, like their leaves falling off, and they're like, there's all these kind of spots on them. And I'm like, unfortunately, it's a type of fungus, and there's not much you can do except for kind of clean up in the fall because it could be gone the next year. Just because certain types of funguses and different types of molds, those in corn and soybeans, they really do depend on that wet weather. So if we have a drier season, we may not have to deal with those same types of you know, molds and funguses. But, I mean, that's something we definitely need to be aware of, both farmer and gardener.
Jessica, I saw you shaking your head when I brought up mold. I mean, is this something you struggled with last year?
Absolutely. To the dusty mildew, I lost most of my squash crops and cucumber crops pretty early on. It's always a struggle in a dry year or a wet year against certain kinds of molds, but particularly the dusty mildew. But it was especially bad last year, and I lost a lot of things early on that I would have hoped would have survived till later in the year. And our apple trees were dropping leaves like crazy from the mildews and the molds that were growing on them.
I mean, is there anything that you know, people can do to try to protect their gardens from these issues?
I guess it's just kind of being aware of your soil content, you know, and this kind of goes for anybody that's, you know, first starting off in farming or gardening. It's super important to know what type of soil you have. So if you have more clay, you know, it's going to maintain that moisture a lot. So maybe looking for plants and stuff that can maintain a lot of moisture and aren't affected then so much about having a high moisture content. On the same end, once it dries out, it also has to be forgiving of kind of that almost clay baking. With sandier soils, that water does just go straight through. But if we get a lot of flooding events like we did, I mean, it can almost turn into quicksand dependent on what's underneath the sand. And so it's just, yeah, kind of being aware of, you know, what type of soil you have. There are some herbicides and stuff that you can, you know, fungicides, I should say, that you can spray, but, you know, once you have to figure out what type of fungus it is that you're dealing with, because one type of fungicide isn't going to cure all. But you can find plants, too, that are resistant. Now, that doesn't mean they're immune, but you can find plants that are resistant to some of these funguses as well.
We know that we're already seeing the effects of a changing climate in our state. And I wonder, Caitlin, if you know, those impacts of more frequent and more severe storms, like how those are impacting area farmers and are likely to impact area farmers this year too.
Well, if we have another flood event like we did last August into September, I mean, we had farmers who lost whole fields. Like, that corn just became lodged. It wasn't able to be, you know, we had a lot of mold issues, and then that can lead to bacteria, so then it's not edible then by animals. And so if we keep having things like that, then farmers need to really think about, well, where are they planting? And it can have a huge economic impact, and in a low commodity price time, I mean, that can put a lot of stress on various farmers.
Yeah, I mean, how are farmers coping in this area with the low commodity prices that we've seen for a number of years now?
Well, some farmers are kind of turning to diversifying their farms. So instead of just relying on one single, you know, commodity, they're looking at adding others. So whether they're, you know, doing beef and crops. Another thing that some Wisconsin farmers are looking at doing is adding industrial hemp as a, you know, another crop that they can grow. I've had lots of phone calls about, you know, well, how can I get involved with industrial hemp? So I'll be, you know, hopefully helping out with some research this summer to learn more myself and, you know, assist those farmers that next year want to apply to be a part of that process.
Yeah, do you feel like we have enough research and information on how to grow hemp in our state for that crop to really be successful at this point?
The way I'm looking at it is it's kind of a huge learning curve at first, and it's really about knowing who your processor is and your market. So if you have a market for it and you have a processor, then you're kind of set up. But we don't have a lot of processors in the state yet, so it's going to be something that's going to be a little slow at first, which is why I think, you know, not a lot of people, you know, in the second year have applied to do the industrial hemp. And so it'll be interesting to see what research is coming out. And that's the one thing I love about UW-Madison is they are always, you know, looking for that next step and, you know, what kind of profit margin are we going to get with this type of crop. And hemp has been grown in Wisconsin before. So it'll be interesting to see how it does, you know, compared to when it was grown.
Jessica, I want to ask you about how you feel the effects of a changing climate are impacting home gardeners. I mean, have you seen any impacts?
I've seen the impact from season to, you know, the seasonal changes as far as when our snowstorms are coming through. It's a little more unpredictable now. I know some people were May 1st, they were putting things out, and now we're going to hold off till May 15th, or, you know, we're going to wait a little bit longer to trust that the season has actually changed. And the moisture levels, hopefully, it's just a temporary change, because it especially those of us with clay soils, it's difficult to find a plant that will forgive that much moisture.
Yeah, and with that kind of shifting more into the summer months for planting, and I wonder, is that shortening the growing season, or is it just shifting it?
I think personally for my garden, it's been shortening it. I'm not getting the quality growth just because we're not getting as much sunlight later in the season as I'd like to see in the late fall. The spring, you know, all my plants are wanting to wake up now. The sunshine's there. It's kind of warm, but it's not safe to put those more delicate young plants out yet. They just can't survive if the weather turns on us.
And Caitlin, very briefly as we wrap up here, what do you think are going to be the biggest challenges for growers this year?
I think in general is, you know, with unpredictable weather. It's just kind of being aware of, you know, these pest pressures and weed pressures, and yeah, maybe a shortening growing season. So, I mean, that can be a huge impact. But yeah, I think we'll see some, especially when it comes to farmers, some, you know, more increase in some of those pests and weeds as some of them become more resistant.
Caitlin Lance, agriculture educator for UW Extension in La Crosse County, and Jessica Leone, certified master gardener, are here with us today to talk about this year's growing season, what challenges lie ahead for farmers and gardeners, and where people can access resources to help. Coming up, we'll take a look at the role of community gardens in the La Crosse area and how they're growing fresh produce and relationships among residents. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, WPR.org/newsmakers. Our site has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at WPR.org/newsmakers.